I am doing a series. In fact, there's a feeling that God is wanting to do something in the earth, and I don't know if you're aware of it, but there is a stirring within the body of Christ, and I want us to be ready for it. I want us to be able to embrace it and walk in it. So that's why I've started from the beginning of this year talking about some important areas. Been talking about purpose, and I've been talking about vision. We've started touching on those areas, and we will keep talking about them. The messages that we've done already are up online. Go to www.pohp.org, go under resources, and you will find the messages there. But there's a theme I believe God's going to have coming out this year, and that is know what you're here for. And start walking in what God has for you. So we've started talking about purpose, which is God's given mandate. Purpose is general. We all share the same purpose. But vision is unique. Vision is about who you are and what God has specifically for you. And I introduced last time a picture that is going to hopefully come up. I might have to get you to do next for me, Lockyer. This is a picture that we're going to see quite a little bit this year. It's actually referred to as a vision frame. It is a simple picture of sky, mountains, road, sign in the foreground, and around it is a frame. And last time we started talking about what this picture means, that we need to frame the vision that God has for us. And so we talked about purpose. In fact, if you go to the next slide, Lockyer, talked about the vision frame and then the different fields of vision in there. And I got you to start thinking about your dream. That's the sky. That's the horizon. That's where God has this amazing dream for you, and some of us don't quite know how to put it together yet. That's okay. And I want to this morning start to back up a little bit. And if we go to the next one. So we've talked about the vision frame, and we've started to talk about purpose, God's purpose for us. That's our foundation. And if you don't know what that is, look up material by Bill Hybels, The Purpose Driven Life, Purpose Driven Church. It's a good place to start to understand what God's purpose is for each and every one of us. But there's another aspect of that, and that is the aspect of culture. And so I'm going to start talking about culture for the next couple of Sundays, because culture is something that we often don't even recognize. But it is extremely powerful in our life, and it is an aspect that shapes where we go and what we accomplish. There are earthly cultures, and there is a kingdom culture. Now, we live in a marvelous time, and we have an awesome church here with people from different cultures, and I love that. I believe that is part of what God wants. We're in heaven. We're going to be from every tribe and tongue. So we have our own human natural culture that we were raised with, and there is a kingdom culture, and sometimes the two are in sync, and sometimes they are not. See, regardless of what culture you come from, there is part of the beauty of our Creator revealed through your culture. But there is also aspects that show the mar of skin, of sin. Let me give you an example from my own culture. I'm born as a Kiwi, but I was raised with a very strong Scottish culture. My father used to march around my bassinet when I was a baby playing the bagpipes. And if you know anything about bagpipes, they are very loud. So I can sleep through anything. Very strong Scottish culture. Now, the Scottish people are known for hospitality. They're known for loyalty. They're also known for being tight-fisted. When I came into the kingdom, God had to teach me about generosity. He had to teach me about giving, because my culture and the natural didn't teach me that. They told me to be looking after myself, saving my pennies. And God said, I had a better culture for you. Let me teach you of my culture. That was one aspect. Another aspect that God had to teach me about was forgiveness. See, a Scottish culture is based on clans. And there's loyalty within clans. But if you're not in their clan, Ray's brother. See, Ray actually has a Scottish background. He wasn't raised with a Scottish culture, but that's where his family line comes from. So his brother went to Scotland last year, and he came back and he told me a story. And he said, I went to a Scottish gathering. And he said, I went out of my way, I got the kilt, I got everything. I dressed up and I went along so proud. And he said, I started talking to the master of ceremonies there. And he said, I was talking away for him for about 15 minutes. We talked about New Zealand, we talked about politics, we talked about golf, we talked about everything. And he said, and then the guy stopped. And he looked at me and he said, what tartan is that? And Gil said, Watson. And the guy said, huh, and walked off. Wrong tartan, boy. Wrong clan. Bring that into the kingdom of God. And God has to teach you what it means to forgive. And to let go of resentment. See, my natural culture never taught me that. My natural culture said that back in such and such a date, centuries ago, this clan did this to us. And now we don't stay in the same room with that clan. See, some of you right now are probably thinking about your own culture. And saying, okay, yeah, I recognize that there are some things about my culture that don't quite line up with the kingdom. And if we're going to achieve what God has for us, then he doesn't want to just change the outside. He wants to change the inside. He wants to change how we believe, how we live, what we think, what our values are. And in changing that, he starts to change culture. If you go to the book of Matthew and you start reading Matthew, you quickly discover that the first thing that Jesus does is he starts to address culture. Look at Matthew 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's culture. In fact, let's go to that scripture. Oh, we've got some. Yes, we better do this. Give you a definition of culture. Culture is a composite of our values, priorities, and practices, along with our traditions, symbols, and expressions. It's a definition of culture. So culture binds us together in unity. When you've lived overseas and you meet somebody from your culture, it's like, wow, they're instant friends. They share your culture. Connects us to our past. Fuels us in the present. Guides us into our future. Culture is powerful and we often don't even recognize it. And I want you to notice that one of the key words there is values. If we bring up the next slide, values are why we do what we do. All of us have values, and we will go on and we will speak in the next couple of weeks about values. What are the values of this church? What are the values that you hold dear as a person? Because when you go to different churches, they have different flavors. Why? They have a different culture. One of the aspects of culture that you may have picked up here, even as a guest this morning, is that we tend to be casual, we tend to be authentic. We're not trying to put on a show. That's part of our culture. Okay? Understanding our culture is important. So let's have a look at I'm looking at my watch. Let's have a look at the scripture in Matthew. Matthew 5:27-28. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. What's Jesus doing? He's adjusting culture. He's talking to those that were raised under a Jewish culture, raised according to the law. And they knew according to the law that there are some things that they could do and some things that they couldn't do. And when you carry on reading through that whole passage of scripture, Jesus says repeatedly to them, you've heard it said this, but I say. And when it comes to adjusting our culture, that is one of the key ways that God does it in our lives, is he starts to speak to us and to reveal truth to us. So if we go to the next slide, comes to adjusting culture, number one way is to hear his words. And sometimes we can think that we're just reading the Bible and we're not getting that much out of it. You'll be amazed. See, every time you are reading the Word of God is living and active, and that Word is changing who you are. And you might not even recognize it. But I bet if you think about who you were years ago as a Christian and who you are now, you will recognize that you have changed. And part of that change is the change of culture that's come on the inside. You are probably kinder than you were back then. Why? Because you've kept on reading about a kingdom of love. And as you keep on hearing that, who you are starts to change. And that's one of the reasons why we need to be in the Word. That's also one of the reasons why we need to hear preaching. See, right now I'm changing who you are through the power of words. And if we go to the next scripture, 1 Corinthians 1:21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. That word save is sozo, means to make whole, means to make complete. It means to bring into the wholeness and fullness of all that God has for us. Every time we are sitting under the word, we are being changed. Jesus put it this way. He said the kingdom of God is like a woman who took leaven, or what we would call yeast, and she adds it to a pile of flour and water, and she kneads it into it, and it leavens or causes to rise that whole piece of dough. It's just a little leaven. Folks, culture is leaven. Culture affects all of our life. And most times, we don't even think about it. See, let me put it this way. When you go and visit your family, if you went to visit them this afternoon, you would know exactly what to do. When you walk up to their house, do you knock? Do you walk in? Do you take your shoes off? Do you give them a hug? Do you shake their hand? Do you say hello? Do you walk into the lounge and do you sit down quickly so that you are lower than them? Or do you wait for them to sit down? See, most of those things you will intuitively know and do without even thinking. That is the power of culture. You've been shaped by it. What you do, how you live, what you aspire to has been shaped by your culture. And God's saying, I want to give you my culture. I want to give you the culture of heaven. He does it through the word, and we've got time to have a look at the next way that he loves to do it, because this is an exciting way he loves to do it. Let's have a look at the next scripture, Acts 10. Oh, there's a few verses here. Starting with verse 9. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descended to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." In the book of Acts, it's kind of rough guideline, but approximately every chapter is a year. So Acts chapter 5 is about 5 years after the ascension of Jesus. Acts chapter 10 is 10 years. For 10 years now, Jesus has been back in heaven. He's given the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. They had ventured into Samaria, but most of them were comfortable in Jerusalem. And the church was made up mostly of Jews. Peter, a good Jew, sees all this stuff shown to him, and the Lord says, "Kill it and eat it." And he says, "I'm a Jew. I know I don't eat that." That's culture. The Lord wanted to bring about change quickly. And many times God uses an occurrence like this to change us quickly. I mentioned about listening to the word and being under the word, and eventually our culture starts to learn to change. I didn't suddenly wake up one day and go, "Oh, I think I should start giving." No, I just started reading the Bible. And slowly over time, I got the revelation that I needed to give and God was going to give back. That was a revelation I got over time. But there are other times when God breaks in with revelation or an encounter or a divine moment. And they are times when God drops something on us that changes who we are and how we see things. So next slide. The second way that God adjusts culture is divine encounter, revelation, defining moments. And probably all of you can think about something that happened in your life where God changed your mindset. He changed your values. Okay, I heard a couple of yeses. Good. So let's go to what happens with Peter. Says verse 17, now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant. This is so important. See, sometimes God gives us a revelation and we go, oh, that's nice. Yeah, I wrote it out and it's in my folder. Or I got that recorded and it's on my computer somewhere. Peter starts to ponder. And it's as we start to ponder the revelation that God gives us that we start to own it and we start to change. And God wants to change the culture that we have that is contrary to his kingdom so that we are in line with everything that he has for us. Sometimes that's a slow process. And it's just as we keep reading and keep being exposed to the word. But there are other times when there are divine moments when God changes what we think, what we believe. Yes, I am. Ray has shared this before. One of the times when we were up in Bethel, when he had a so-so, God asked him a question which radically changed his perceptions and his values. Ray was raised in a very high-performance military home. Goes to Bethel and God asks him one question. Is it enough to be a son? That was the beginning of Ray stepping in to grace. Because it changed his whole value system. From, I've got to perform, I've got to measure up, I've got to earn love. If I do this, I will be accepted. And God simply said, is it enough just to be my son? See, everything that we do flows out of who we are. And God wants to touch and to change our understanding of who we are. So next week, we will carry on looking at this and we'll look at two other ways that God adjusts culture. Because it's in the adjusting that we start to become positioned for what God has for us. Let's pray. Papa, thank you. Thank you for the cultures that we've been born into. And Lord, we value the beauty that you have placed in every culture on this planet. You made man in your image. And Lord, I thank you that every person here carries a beautiful aspect of your image so naturally, without even thinking of it. Because it's part of the culture that they were raised with. But Lord, I pray that you'll start to speak to everybody here about your culture and about your kingdom and about the things in our heart, the beliefs that we hold to, the values that we've been raised with, Lord. that don't quite come in sync with your kingdom. Help us, Lord, to recognize those things and to have the courage to change. And we thank you for that. Amen.